The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, so if you have your Bible, please turn to Luke 24. I'll be reading from verse 13 to verse 35, and it is on page 920 of your pew Bible. Luke 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, and they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is God's word.
Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've all had the uncanny experience, perhaps, of being someplace and seeing someone and recognizing them, but perhaps not being quite able to realize where it is we have seen them before. I was at one of my favorite eating establishments not long ago at the Old Country Buffet. And while I was there, I noticed a young lady who I had seen before, and she looked at me and she waved and I waved back, and I was trying to remember where I had seen her before. And the more I kept eating, the more it bothered me, because I knew I'd seen her someplace, but I just couldn't put my hand on it where I'd seen her before. And I thought maybe she works at the store that I always go to, but it just wouldn't come to me. And so throughout that whole meal, I was frustrated because I knew the person, but just couldn't recall where I'd seen her before. It was several weeks later, and the young lady was here in church, and then I realized where I'd seen her before. She was in our summer feeding program, and she was also a visitor here at the church. But every day during the summer, I had seen her, but I could not place her out of context. There in the Old Country Buffet, out of context, I had problems knowing where I had seen her before. Perhaps it's a matter of context in our lesson this morning from Luke. It's late in the day on Easter Sunday, and there are all kinds of rumors swirling around in Jerusalem about an empty tomb. But Cleopas and his companions are not sure they believe it. To them, it's nothing more but a bunch of crazy tales told by some hysterical women still traumatized by the events on Good Friday. So Cleopas and his companion, more than likely his wife, begin making the 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. They both follow Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, filled with anticipation and hope. They had hoped that he would be the one to restore the kingdom to Israel. They had hoped that he would be the one to fulfill the promises of God foretold in Scripture. They had hoped that he would fulfill that deep longing that they had for the abiding peace and presence of God in their midst. They had hoped for all of these things, but now their hopes appeared to have been dashed. Jesus was arrested and crucified. According to the Jewish thinking in the first century, the Messiah was to do two things. He was, first of all, to defeat Israel's enemies. And secondly, he was to cleanse and rededicate the temple. But Jesus had done none of those things, at least seemingly so. Instead, he was crucified and he was buried in the tomb on Good Friday. And so now, downcast and dejected and defeated, these two disciples journey back home, home to Emmaus, back to the mundane, everyday reality of a world where the forces and powers of death always seem to have the last word. But it's in the midst of the journey that the crucified, resurrected Lord comes to be with them, just as Jesus comes to be with all of us in those periods of our lives when we too are feeling downcast and dejected and defeated. But amazingly, Cleopas and his companion, they cannot see Jesus. They don't recognize him. The Bible tells us that this isn't just the problem that Cleopas and his companion had, but this is the problem that all of Jesus' disciples had after the resurrection. None of them were able to recognize Jesus. Mary wasn't able to recognize Jesus. Despite the fact that Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her, she was not able to recognize the resurrected Lord. Thomas was not able to recognize Jesus until he was able to put his hands in Jesus' hands and he was able to feel the wound in Jesus' side. Peter, too, we are told, Jesus' main disciple, was not able to recognize Jesus when he saw Jesus walking on the shore. So all of Jesus' disciples had problems recognizing him right after the resurrection. And if you're like me, when you're reading those post-resurrection narratives, you ask yourself, how can you not recognize Jesus? How can you not see Jesus? Open your eyes. That's Jesus before you. How can you not see him? Well, we know the reason they cannot recognize Jesus. It's because of the power of death. Their hearts and their minds have been captured by the powers of death, and so they're not able to recognize the resurrected Jesus, even though he comes to be beside them. They cannot see him. That's what the power of death does. It shuts down your vision. It blunts your imagination. It makes you blind to the possibilities of new life that is right in front of you. The gospel witnesses are brutally honest about Jesus' earliest disciples, and it's brutally honest about all of us. It understands how we human beings have been captured by the power of death, so captured by it that we can't see the new possibilities of life that is before us on Easter Sunday. Cleopas and his companion do not recognize Jesus. They simply believe that he is a stranger who has somehow missed the events of the last few days. Haven't you heard, they said? Don't you know what has gone on in these last couple of days? They believe that he is a stranger, and so they begin to recount to Jesus all that has gone on in the last few days. But their eyes are closed. They can't see Jesus. They can't recognize Jesus because he is out of context. The last they saw Jesus, he was hanging on the cross. The last they saw Jesus, he was dead. He was put in the tomb. But now Jesus is alive, and they can't recognize the crucified Lord. Jesus does two things to open their eyes. First of all, he interprets the scripture for them. That is, he retells the story. He retells the story of God. He retells their story. After all, that is who Jesus is. Jesus is the Word. He is the Word incarnate. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is the one who came to fulfill the scriptures. He is the Word. And Jesus begins to interpret the story to them around himself. And he wants them to understand. He tells them that the story of God who's come to be with us has never been a power story. It's not about God coming down and beating up our enemies. It's not about God coming down and putting us in control. But instead, the story of God is a love story. It was always the story about a God who loved the world so much that he chose a people, not for their own sakes, but for the sake of the world. And it would be through that people that he would come and dwell and take on the pain and the suffering and the horror of the world, take it upon himself. He would take that suffering upon himself, and he would come out on the other side. And that's the story that Jesus tells Cleopas and his companion. That's the story that he wants us to hear as well. And even though their hearts are burning deep down inside of them as he interprets the scriptures to them, we are told that that is not enough. Hearing the word of God alone is not enough for the scales to fall from their eyes and for them to be able to recognize the resurrected Lord. It is only after they reach their destination, only after they have got to Emmaus and they have invited Jesus into their home and they're sitting around the table, it's only after Jesus takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it and distributes it, it's only then that they're able to recognize Jesus. It's only then that they're able to see things in context. It's only then that they're able to see the resurrected Lord before them. This story is not just about disciples way back then, of course, but it's also about disciples today. This story is about you and me. It's about our vision. It's about what we are able to see. It's about being able to see new possibilities of life that are before each and every one of us. After all, we now are the followers of Christ. Some of us have been following Jesus for many, many years. We've been following him around. Like Jesus' earliest disciples, we too follow Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday to the hail of the crowds. We know what happened on Good Friday. We were there. We were there when he was arrested. We were there when he was crucified. We were there when he was laid in the tomb. We were there for all of that. We heard that story too. But we've also heard the rumors. We heard the rumors of a stone that was rolled away. We heard the rumors of an empty tomb. Rumors of angels declaring that he is not here. He's been raised from the dead. And we heard the testimony of Mary and the testimony of Thomas and other disciples who said, "We have seen the Lord. We have seen him." We heard all of that. But like Cleopas and his companion, we too have left Jerusalem. We left to go back to our homes on Easter Sunday. We left to go back to our jobs. We left to go back to our everyday routines. And the question for us as we walk down our own road to Emmaus, as we go back to that place that we too are familiar, as we go back perhaps in dejection, perhaps feeling defeated by the forces and powers of death, the question for us is, do we see? Are we able to see? Are we able to see the power of the resurrection? Are we able to see the resurrected Lord in our midst, loving us, calling us, walking beside us? Are we able to see? Are our hearts too taken over by the forces and the powers of death? The Bible wants us to understand the power of death in our lives. Easter is a time when our vision is tested. It's a time when we are asked to come to grips with the power of death in our lives. It's a time that we are asked to come to grips with the deals that we make with the forces and the power of death. It's a time when we are asked to consider the various ways that the powers of death shuts down our vision and shuts down our imaginations. It's during Easter when we are reminded that something dramatic has happened, something significant has happened. It's in Easter when we are asked to recognize that God's power of life has broken into our world, that the forces and powers of death have been defeated. That's the Easter message, and yet we often walk back to Emmaus, being shrouded in the forces and powers of death. It's a story that we sometimes don't know that we believe because the forces and powers of death have so overtaken our hearts and our minds. But that's why we come to this place. That's why we come here to worship. We come to this place Sunday after Sunday so that we're able to have the scales to fall from our eyes. We come to this place Sunday after Sunday so that we're able to see. We're able to see what God is doing in our midst. We're able to see what God is doing in our lives. We're able to see what God is doing in the world. We're able to see the resurrected Lord in our midst. That's what we come here for. We come here to hear the story. To hear the story of how God has defeated the forces and powers of death. And we come together around the table, together around the table where the bread is broken and distributed for each and every one of us. But it's not only in worship that we come to have our vision readjusted. It's also in the time of fellowship that we enjoy here in this congregation. It's in our community dinners that we have. Whenever we have our community dinners, they're not just occasions for us to get to know our community. They are that, but it's something much, much more. They're an occasion, an opportunity for us to begin to live into our vision, to begin to live into the Easter vision. The Easter vision of sharing, the Easter vision a fellowship, the Easter vision where barriers are broken down, the Easter vision where there's enough for everyone. It's where we have an opportunity to come together and say that we are the people of God. It's where we have an opportunity to come together and see the Lord Jesus Christ against the backdrop of a world where the forces and powers of death tell us that it's impossible to live this way. It's impossible to fellowship with people who are different from you. It's impossible to be in a sustained relationship with people who look different or with people who live in a different part of the city than you do. It's impossible to share resources and food with one another in a world that says there is not enough. But here, from time to time, we come together to live in to that vision. We come together to see Jesus in our midst, to see Jesus in the midst of us, and to live out the new possibilities that Easter has presented to each and every one of us. We live in a world where many of our contemporaries are still blinded by the power of death. But we have the opportunity to see Jesus here. We have the opportunity to put things, to put life in its context. We don't have to leave Jerusalem feeling dejected. We don't have to leave Jerusalem feeling defeated. We don't have to leave Jerusalem feeling disappointed. Our hope is still in the Lord Jesus Christ. We still hope in Him. We still know that He is the one that brings life. We still know that He is the one who has the presence of God upon Him, who has the Spirit of God upon Him. We still know that He is the one that brings new life. And yet we have to make sure that we labor to see him, that we don't allow ourselves to become blinded by the forces and the powers of death. The disciples, Cleopas and his companion, after they see Jesus, he vanishes from them the moment that they are able to see him. And it's a reminder that none of us are able to lay hold of Jesus. None of us are able to claim him. None of us are able to hold him. We have an opportunity of seeing him through our fellowship, through our sharing, but none of us are able to hold Jesus in place. He goes, and he asks us to follow. And they do follow. They go back to Jerusalem, back to that place of danger, back to that place where they were leaving. And they go with the rest of the disciples, and together they share the stories about how they have seen the Lord. We have all seen the Lord. We've seen him. I've seen him. You've seen him. They go back and they share the stories of where they have seen the Lord. And that's why we come to here as well. We come here to share our stories of where we've encountered the resurrected Lord, where we've encountered Jesus and other people, where we've encountered him in the people that we meet, where we encounter him in the smiles of the women that we see at the market, where we encounter him in the homeless people in the streets, where we encounter him in the people that we engage on a day-to-day basis, where we encounter him in the people who come in through these doors, where we encounter him in the innocence of children who come for our after-school program or who come for the various programs in this church, where we encounter him of the people who come to avail themselves of our food closet, where we encounter him in the people who come to our deacon board asking for assistance. We encounter Jesus again and again. We see Jesus because we're able to see with the eyes of new possibility. We're able to see with eyes that knows the value and worth of each and every person. We're able to see Jesus and all who come in through these doors. Do you see Jesus here this morning? Do you see Jesus in the midst of you this morning? Have you seen Jesus this week? Have you seen Jesus on your job? Have you seen Jesus at work? Have you seen Jesus at school? Have you seen Jesus? Are your eyes open? Are your eyes open to the possibility of seeing the resurrected Lord? In Easter, we have the possibility of going back out into the world, back out into a dangerous world, just as the disciples went back into Jerusalem. Jerusalem, where they were at one time hiding, where they were afraid, where they were scared, where they were frightened of the authorities. Now they go back into Jerusalem to proclaim the good news that they have seen the Lord. And we too are asked to go back out into the world, this big world that is frightening, this world that is filled with so much pain, this world that is filled with so much horror, this world that is filled with so much darkness. We are called to go back out into this world and proclaim, we have seen the Lord. We have seen him. We've seen the Lord because he is in our midst right now as we gather in fellowship, as we love one another, as we fellowship with one another, as we share what we have with one another. We have seen the Lord operating through us. And it's through us that the world, too, will see the Lord. It's through our fellowship, it's through our sharing, that the world will be able to see Jesus. They cannot see Jesus except through you and me. They cannot see Jesus except in the way that we live. They cannot see Jesus except by the way that we give of ourselves. Because each and every one of us here, each and every one of us have been taken. We have been taken out of the world, taken out of this world of pain and horror and suffering. We've been taken out of this world and claimed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us here have been blessed. We have been blessed by God. We've been blessed to be here. We have been blessed to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed to belong to this fellowship. Each and every one of us here is here because we're broken. None of us here are perfect. We're broken people. We're all broken people, people that need to be forgiven, but we are here. We are here because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are here because it's our vocation to be given away. We do not exist for ourselves, but we exist for the sake of the world. We exist for others. And it's only in understanding who we are, a people who have been chosen, who have been blessed, who have been broken, who have been given away, that people are able to see the Lord Jesus Christ operating in us, so that not only can we see the Lord in our midst, but others can look at upon us, can look at us in our worship, can look at us in our fellowship, can look at us in our community dinners, can look at us going out into the midst of the community, could look at us in our ministries to children, could look at us as we serve in our care closets. They could look at us and say, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord at Alney Presbyterian Church. We have seen him, because there in that place is a witness to a whole new way of living, whole new possibilities of living, living that is free from the fear of death, living that is free from the forces and powers of death, living that exhibits the Word of God enfleshed in our world, the Word of God who has called us into fellowship, called us together, called us to be one, called us into community, called us to be his body that goes out into the world to proclaim the good news of God's coming kingdom, the good news of God's offer of abundant life for each and every one of us. We have seen the Lord. We live that vision that we are asked to cultivate deep down inside of our hearts. And we are called to share that vision, not simply by what we say, but most importantly, how we live that vision out in the midst of a darkened world. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to be a different kind of people. You have called us to be a people with vision. You have called us to be a people who see in the midst of the world where people stumble in the darkness. We ask that you continue to empower us with your Spirit. Send us forth out into the world free from fear. Send us out to proclaim the good news that we indeed have seen the light that illuminates the world. Help us to shine forth the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in everything that we do. Help us to love one another and to love those who you have called us to serve, so that in the great love that we have for one another and the love that we have for our neighbors, the people will know that we belong to you, that they can look at us and say that they have seen you, that they have seen and experienced your love and your mercy and your compassion for their lives. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.